A blessed day to everyone. Welcome to our worship celebration. I hope you're all doing well. Before we begin, can we come to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help as we study His Word? Shall we pray? Lord, we come to you as little kids, humbly asking for our Heavenly Father some help, blessing, and guidance as we come to your Holy Word. We pray earnestly and humbly that you would teach and preach to our hearts and that you would just be gracious to us, Lord, and allow us to understand wonderful truths, Lord, in this wonderful passage that you have ordained for us to be looking at. We pray that you would bless our time together as we study, as we worship, as we gratefully honor you, and we pray that you'd allow the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words that would come out of my mouth be glorifying and pleasing to you and to you alone. This is our heart's cry in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining me again. I'm honored to be leading you and ministering to you through God's inerrant and all-sufficient and authoritative word. If you have your Bibles, and I know you do, kindly turn your Bibles to Psalm 73. It's a very lengthy psalm, but as you are turning there, let me ask you some questions. Who is it that made an impact in your spiritual life? Sino po ba yung mga spiritual parents ninyo, spiritual fathers, mothers, those who have shared their testimony, they have shared the gospel to you? Someone who has been an inspiration to you, someone that you look up to. What if he or she would share with you that there was a season in his or her life that he almost defected from the faith? What if someone of spiritual stature, with God's grace, of course, would share his testimony? Perhaps one of our pastors, one of our elders would share his testimony, and he would start by saying, you know, we serve a great God. And we would perhaps say, amen. Totoo naman, we serve a good God. But what if as he continues with his testimony, he shares that there's one season in his life that he doubted God, na hindi siya nagtiwala sa Diyos, na nagduda siya sa Panginoong Diyos, that he almost walked away from the faith. Diba? Maikinig tayo sa kanya. We would tune in intently and most assuredly. Because as we see one of the godliest person that we know, saying he almost defected from the faith, we indeed would pay attention to his testimony, would we not? Sinasabi ko po ito sa inyo kasi Psalm 73 is a personal testimony of someone who almost walked away from the faith, who almost defected from the faith. And we're not just talking about an ordinary member of the nation of Israel, right? But someone who can be considered as a model of spiritual maturity. Someone who, when Israel needed someone to be leading worship, si King David inappoint siya as that person to be one of their worship leaders. And this person is Asaph. Si Asaph po is not just a typical worship leader who can sing. I'm pretty sure he has a good voice. But in 1 Chronicles 25 and 29, Asaph was called a prophet in his musical compositions. Nabasa niyo na po bang Psalm 50? Psalm 50 speaks of a man of conviction and courage, a man who looks at God and who loves God. This psalm was written by Asaph. Did you know that he wrote Psalm 73 to Psalm 83? Yes, he wrote those psalms. So, itong mamang ito is a model of spiritual maturity. a model of great love for God, a model of great love for God's word. Si Asaph was a Levite from the land of Gershon. Alam niyo po, ano pa ang very interesting sa mamang ito, sa taong ito? I believe he was a good father. You want to know why I believe so? In Ezra 2:41, Ezra tells us of Asaph's sons who were actively involved in temple worship as singers. Nung ang Israel ay bumalik mula sa exile, in fact, the list in Ezra 2, sabi nga 128 sons attributed to Asaph, and they were singers. They were leading worship. This tells us of the wonderful impact that Asaph had on his family. But as we hear from Asaph in this beautiful psalm, it really has become a public testimony of a godly father, a spiritual leader, a man who loves God, and he's about to tell us, I almost defected. Muntik na akong umalis, muntik na akong tumalikod sa aking pananampalataya. I almost abandoned my faith. So, in that sense, this psalm goes from being descriptive to prescriptive and preventive. And we would learn things that we ought to be mindful of, for us to be cautious of our hearts when doubt creeps in. Pag nagsimulang magkaroon ng duda sa ating mga kaisipan at sa ating mga puso. Hindi ko alam po anong pinanggadaanan ninyo o what is your spiritual condition right now. Pero siguro it is safe to say that Asaph is more mature than most of us. And so it would do us well to listen to his testimony as he shares with us a season when he almost lost sight. A season when he almost abandoned his faith. A season where a temporary spiritual blindness has set in. I say temporary because only unbelievers are permanently blind to the things of God. Pero alam natin, and we would see in this psalm, that if we do not deal with sins in our lives, our spiritual vision can be clouded. Believers can have seasons when we would be so focused on the interests of men rather than the interest of God. A season where we will struggle and we will focus just on the here and now, engulfed with life circumstances, and fail to look at eternity. We would hear Asaph ask questions such as, why do the wicked do well while the righteous suffer? Why do the best things happen to bad people? Why should I keep the faith when unbelievers seem to be doing so much better? In fact, those questions may be your questions. Takot nang i-verbalize. And Asaph knows. He has gone through that. These are what Asaph will be asking in this text. And it's fueled by constant comparison, which destroys contentment. He is focusing on the gain of the wicked and not able to reconcile it with the goodness of God. Paano mabait ang Diyos? Paano mabuti ang Diyos? Samantala ang mga wicked nagpa-prosper? Ito ang occasion, this is the circumstance of Psalm 73. In his testimony, we would hear Asaph's journey from doubt to despair to delighting in God. And in his honest experience, we would learn that the prosperity of the wicked would pale into comparison to the everlasting privilege of knowing God, loving Him, and trusting Him. Psalm 73 would teach us the eternal end of the wicked, not just a temporary ease, so that we would focus on the everlasting goodness of God. To be pursuing, and not just pursuing things from God, but be pursuing God. So, as we study, we would be reading the psalm because it's lengthy as we go along in our study. So, we would have everything covered. And as we open our Bibles to Psalm 73, let us listen to Asaph's testimony as he gives us four encouragements in times of doubt. As we listen to Asaph's testimony, we would be given four encouragements in times of doubt. In verse 1 to 3, he would tell us, do not lose sight on true goodness. Lose not your sight on true goodness. Verse 4 to 15, we would hear him say, long not for worldly good. Long not for worldly good. Starting from verse 16 to 22, we would see that we should look back upon God's character. In times of doubt, we should look back upon God's character. And lastly, as an encouragement when we are in doubt, love God and His glory. Love God's glory. Verses 1 to 3 now encourages us to lose not your sight on true goodness. Look at verse 1 to 3. A psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Parang isang magandang testimonya, nagsimula si Asaph by saying, oh, God is good. It's a declaration of God's utter goodness. Before Asaph begins to share with us a season when he doubted God, we hear him saying, truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And friends, you need to understand, this is a declaration in hindsight. Okay? He is speaking in the present tense, looking back to a season of doubt. This is what he's attesting to. After going through that ordeal, he is saying, after the episode, recalling that episode of doubt in his life, he says, you know what? God is good. He's absolutely convinced of this. And so, to those of us who may be going through some difficult times, and you may be in the brink, malapit na kayo magduda, sobrang nahirap pa kayo, listen carefully to Asaph. He said, God is good. God is faithful. And he said, He is good to Israel, His chosen nation. God is being depicted here and is being expressed as one who is good, one who is good to His covenant people. This is showing the faithful chesed, the faithful love of God. Sa panahon ngayon, yung God is good, napaka parang byword na lang sa evangelical churches, right? It's a cliche. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. But you need to understand, friends, Asaph started with this truth declaration and says that whatever circumstance you may be in right now, God is infinitely, eternally, and faithfully good. Yes, God who expresses faithful love to the nation Israel is good. Pero sabi ni Asaph, kinwalify din niya yun. He said, He is good, especially good to those who are pure in heart. Those who love God. Those who love God wholeheartedly, ever regardless of the situation in their lives. We see this truth in the psalm written by David. In Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5, he asks, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Sabi ni Asaph, God is good to Israel, to those of pure heart. Doesn't this remind you of the Beatitudes? Matthew 5, verse 8 reads, blessed are the pure in heart. Bakit? For they shall see God. Ito ang truth na inassert ni Asaph as he starts his testimony. He went through some rough times that almost had him fall away, but he learned his lesson well, and so he says, God is good. But notice now as he starts to share his heart in verse 2, notice the contrast. But God is good, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Parang sinasabi ni Asaph, God has been faithfully, eternally, and infinitely good to us. But me? Hindi ako faithful. Hindi ako good. God has always been steadfast in his affections and determinations for Israel. But Asaph? Sinasabi niya, I have wavered. Sabi niya, my feet almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Put those two together, we see someone who had temporarily had spiritual blindness. Someone who got sidetracked. Hindi siya nagstumble, pero he went to a point where he almost slipped. He almost stumbled. And friends, when we're talking about someone who almost slipped, almost stumbled, we see someone who is on the edge, who is on a muddy path, being on a cliff. Bakit natin pinag-usapan do? This tells us that he went far away from God, far enough to almost slip and almost stumble. Friends, this is very important. Because this is a slow and steady compromise. Let me ask you, how is your life? Are there any compromises? You see, Asaph went far enough to almost slip. At mga kaibigan, let us not be complacent. Huwag tayong masyadong komportable na, kaya ka naman bumalik. How sure are you? Don't think that we would not go too far. Don't think that you can go back. What if the next step would make you fall away already? So be careful with your choices. Be careful with your friends. Asaph went far enough to almost slip, far enough to almost stumble. In case you're wondering, ano bang nangyari? Ano bang nagawa? What did Asaph commit that has brought him to the point of almost defection? I mean, what would it take for a worship leader, someone of his spiritual stature, to almost fall away from his faith? Verse 3 gives us an answer. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I like the honesty here. Diba nakaka-bless ng puso ang honesty ng awit nito, ang honesty ni Asaph. Again, si Asaph po ay nagwiwika, nangungusap. He's sharing his testimony in hindsight. He has just went through this. And he said, I was envious. Nainggit ako. I coveted. This godly man almost defected. And it started when he coveted the life of the ungodly. Yung salitang envious is the same word that was used that started the hatred of Joseph's brothers towards him when he was given a special coat by his father, Jacob. Sobrang galit sila na gusto nila ikapatayin siya. In fact, they sold him for slavery. Please take note that this psalm tells us that it happened in the heart. In this psalm, Asaph would use the word heart 7 different times. And so he shares with us what is happening from within, from his mind, from his heart. Hindi naman niya talaga na-commit itong act of sin, but he was entertaining them in his heart. Naalala niyo si Pedro? Remember his bold declaration. When Jesus was asking them, who do people say that I am? Sabi lang, sabi po nila, kayo ito, kayo ito. And then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And led by God, Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus commended him for that and called him blessed. But a few verses after that, in Matthew 16, pagkatapos i-articulate ni Kristo ang mangyayari sa kanya, that he will be wrongfully accused, that the religious leaders will not like him, and he will be killed and will be raised after 3 days, anong ginawa ni Pedro? Peter rebuked him. Remember what Jesus told him? "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." Bakit? "For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Dito nagsimula ang pagbagsak at unti-unting pag-slip away ni Asaph. He started comparing his life with others, and that led him to start doubting God. He was mindful of the things of man and not of the things of God. Friends, you need to understand that our lives should not be compared to others, but we should give thanks to God for our lives. Nainggit si Asaph sa buhay at prosperity, particularly ng mga wicked. That word prosperity in the Hebrew language is the word shalom, which is often referred to or rendered as peace. And shalom means welfare, completeness. Sabi sa atin ng psalmist, sabi ni Asaph, "Nainggit ako." Asaph was envious. He was not envious of the wicked people's lives and their lifestyle, but he was envious of the benefits that he sees in their lives. Tanong ko sa inyo, have you ever heard of believers? Or have you yourself asked this and say, bakit kaya yung mga unbelievers, they seem to be doing well? You know, those celebrities or athletes, or nowadays, social media influencers, or perhaps your neighbor who never goes to church, who never loves God in His Word, but living prosperous lives? Or maybe you're in a season like that right now, where you long for some ease, you long for some pleasure, where you want to have and experience those that are quote-unquote good. Ano ba ang good? Who determines what good is? Sabi ng psalmist, "Truly God is good to His people and to the pure in heart." Friends, these speaks volumes. And we start this study this way. That those who are pure in heart are those who would understand the true meaning of goodness, found only in the very good God, kahit ano nangyari sa buhay niya. The opening verses right off the bat challenges our hearts, di po ba? Because where your heart is where your gaze would be. Where your treasure is in your heart is where your eyes would be led to focus on. Asaph lost sight of God's true goodness when he set his mind on things of man rather than on things of God. He saw the wicked, he saw their lives, and he began to be envious. He began to covet their life's benefits. But more than that, his understanding of true goodness got clouded. Dear ones, in times of difficulties, even in life's subtleties, in times when you doubt God's goodness, we should not lose sight of true goodness. For us not to be in danger of being in a place where we would slip or we would stumble. In verse 4 to 15, Asaph would now describe for us what he went through. And I pray sincerely that you would listen, that we would listen to each verse, as we will have these tendencies as well. It started out with him losing sight of true goodness. He compared his life with that of the wicked, and that led him to be lured and to long for worldly good. in times of doubt, we should not lose sight or lose not your sight on true goodness. We also should long not for worldly good. Look at verse 4 and 5. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Again, gusto kong i-remind tayo, ito ay si Asaph. Nasa punto ng buhay niya na nabubulagan siya. Na naiinggit siya sa buhay ng mga wicked. And so, he is assessing things with worldly perspective, with worldly lenses, right? He looked at the lives of those who are pure in heart, those who find their joy and significance in God, those who love God and His Word. And then he looked at the life of those who do not value the things of God, those who are wicked, and then he made these assumptions. Verse 4, they have no pangs until death. Ano ibig sabihin nun? Sinasabi niya, parang hindi sila nag-suffer. They don't seem to suffer even to the point of death. They don't seem to suffer when they die. Asaph sees that wicked people are getting away with their wickedness, and he sees them as to not seem to suffer. Pero alam natin na hindi naman totoo yun. Right? Dahil alam natin na merong pagsusulit sa bandang huli. That there is a great reckoning. But he is so taken by his misguided heart. He goes on to say, their bodies are fat and sleek. Now, in their time, nung panahon nila, yung mga tao medyo malaki, those who are a bit on the larger side, are considered beautiful at kinainggitan. Dahil, that means that they are living a prosperous life. It shows a prosperous life. So Asaph was saying, they don't suffer. In fact, even in their death, they are not suffering and they are prosperous. Verse 5, they are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Napansin nyo, nag-develop ng argument si Asaph even further. According to his estimations, not only are the wicked rewarded equally to the righteous, they seem to be more blessed than the pure in heart. Their lives seem to have less trouble. They are not in trouble as others are, and they are not stricken as compared to the average man. Asaph is indeed showing us his heart, isn't he? He is not necessarily coveting their lifestyle again, kagaya sinabi natin kanina, but he seems to be envious of the benefits of their lifestyle. He desires their comforts. He wants to enjoy those comforts. He doesn't want their wickedness, but boy, does he want their pleasures. We all have been there, right? When we look at the lifestyles of the rich and famous, di ba? Pinaparod nyo ba yun nung bata kayo? I did. I love that show. And I knew what it did to my heart. I started coveting, sana ganun ang buhay ko. No? Sana ganun ang... Ano kayang feeling ng mayaman? And again, we are talking about these wicked people who are gaining riches and those who do not love God and His Word. This is what's happening to Asaph's heart. Uulitin ko, walang mali pag ikay mayaman and if you honor God with all that you have. But what we see here is a godly man losing sight of eternity and eternal reward, and in his unguarded moment, he is coveting the benefits of the wicked. And he goes on to say in verse 6, therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. as a result of their arrogance and kanilang kayabangan, as a result of their seemingly flawless life na hindi sila nakakaroon ng problema, wala silang iniisip na anong kakainin namin kinabukasan, they are prosperous and now they have everything. Violence and pride has become like an accessory, parang kwintas, right? They wear it, they adorn themselves by it. And in Asaph's analysis, because God did not punish the wicked as He should, dapat parusahan ng Diyos ito eh, they simply became more wicked. And even now, becomes more proud and arrogant and wears these pride and arrogance and violence as a necklace. Verse 7, their eyes swell out through fatness. This is an expression of proud satisfaction. Diba yung parang na dumidilat ang mata sa kabusugan, kasaganahan. Their eyes are so satisfied and they are now oozing with pride because of these satisfactions. Their hearts overflow with follies. Maganda to sa Hebrew eh. In the original language, it would read this way: they overflow with conceit and with idols. Dahil marami nga sila napapala at wala namang nangyari masama sa kanila, and they are all self-made, and they have now more idols in their hearts. They want more. Again, friends, Asaph is showing us his heart. After describing their deeds, now Asaph describes their speech. Look at verse 8. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens and their tongue struts through the earth. They are so well off, so self-made according to their estimation. Ako lang gumawa nito, walang Diyos, walang totoong Diyos. Ako, kagalingan ko, katalinuhan ko. This is all made by me. Now they start mocking everyone. Their mouths always scoff and speak wickedly. His mouth is even set against the heavens. Ang nakakalungkot pa, sabi rito, everyone seems to be listening. Everyone seems to hear about this wickedness and his prosperity because he is parading his prosperity, his wickedness, as he, and now, their tongue struts through the earth. Both mouth and tongue are flaunting. Pinangangalandakan, pinagmamalaki ang kanilang wealth. They verbalize that and they are parading them through the earth. Verse 10, therefore, in light of their behavior, in light of their speech, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. This means that people are attracted to them. They go after them. May tanong ako, may napansin po ba kayo as we transition to verse 10? Did you notice the change of pronouns? It went to a singular his from plural there. Diba? There. Now, therefore, his people turn back to them. We are introduced to a group of people now. Pero singular his. What's going on here? His people. I believe Asaph is talking about God's covenant people. I believe he is talking about God's people, his people, God's covenant people, Israel. And God's covenant people, just like us and just like Asaph, saw the life of the wealthy, wicked people, and they saw how they are living and that they can get away with it. And they say, I want that. Even God's people run for it. Has Asaph unearthed
What's in your heart? Do you aspire? Do you desire the lifestyle of the rich and famous and the wicked? Those who outright belittle God, those who outright say that there's no God with how they live. This is what's happening here. And listen to where the wicked's arrogance has took them. Verse 11, and they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Friends, this is not a humble question. Hindi ito, mababang loob ng pagtanong. No, this has gone public and they are mocking God. They are proclaiming publicly their disdain and hatred for God. How can God know? Well, hindi naman niya alam eh. Wala namang alam yung Diyos niyo. He's not omniscient. Well, is there knowledge in the Most High? And now listen. Listen to Asaph. As he shows us that he has gone deeper in his falling away. Started with coveting, then comparing, and now we see him complaining. We see him in self-pity. Look at verse 12. Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. Again, it started with coveting the benefits, the temporal benefits of the wicked. He sees their life and now he pities himself. Naawa sa sarili niya. And friends, it doesn't stop there, does it? Notice in the succeeding verses how he would now question God's goodness and would regret how he lived for this awesome good God. Verse 13, all in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. Asaph, are you really saying this? When Asaph focused on the flourishing of the wicked, he looked at his own life. And he concluded that he has pursued purity in vain. Walang kwenta yung pagpamuhay ko para sa Diyos. Look at that verse again. Verse 13, look at your Bibles. That word all, in the beginning of verse 13, in the original language can also be rendered as truly. It's actually the same word that we see in verse 1. Kung saan nabasa natin, truly God is good. Napansin niyo kung gaano kalayo na ang nilayo ng mamang ito. Look how far he has gone from truly God is good to truly all is in vain. He started out with a declaration of God's goodness, especially to those who are pure in heart. Now he is saying, what's the point of living pure lives? That's quite a statement. But it's one that we can identify with. Di po ba? We wonder whether it's really worth it to live radical obedience to the commands of Christ. Diba? To submit to scripture's standard of especially sexual purity nowadays. Everybody's doing it. Mahal nyo naman isa't isa. To simplify life in this world in order to sacrifice and give more away. Meron ba talagang reward ang righteousness? Why would I pursue godliness when it is the godless who are being blessed? You see? Verse 14, for all the day long I have stricken and rebuked every morning. He's saying, all my life is filled with constant conviction and chastisement. Because I'm trying to live a godly life, a pure life. I wanted to please God, but to the detail that even the smallest sin has caused me pain. And the wicked gets away with the big sins. So now he's struggling. And he is struggling with this. And he acknowledges that. And he has kept his suffering to himself, according to verse 15. If I said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children.
ayaw niya, and this is where I see that this is very helpful. Yes, he was struggling. Yes, he was doubting. But he did not want to lead the people of God to question God as he was struggling himself. Again, friends, this is happening in his heart. Nobody may have noticed that he was struggling. He would have been going to worship services and leading worship, and he is struggling from within. And this is where we see a start of a shift in this beautiful psalm. Because this is where we see, this is the very first verse where we see him speak to God directly. If I said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. He's speaking to God now. He was struggling. It seems unfair to be living for God while others who are not are living prosperous lives. They flaunt it. They verbalize it. In fact, they mock God with their lives, with their wealth, and has even led some of God's covenant people to desire earthly temporal pleasures. And as he struggled deep within with God's grace, we see him start speaking to God. And this is very helpful in tremendous ways, friends. Because this shows us a healthy way to wrestle with doubt. A healthy way to wrestle with our struggles in the Christian life. He wrestles with how God works. See, Asaph wrestles with his faith honestly, but he kept it between himself and God rather than letting it become a hindrance to others in their faith. He shows us how to ask questions and how to struggle in our faith while not pulling other people away from God. Again, friends, there's nothing wrong with sharing your struggles with other people. There's nothing wrong with sharing your burdens with other godly people. But make sure that we go to God first. Because, dear ones, God knows our struggles. He does. Hindi siya nabigla na nagkakaroon tayo ng ganito mga pagkakataon at episodes sa life natin. He knows our weaknesses. Kindly go to Psalm 103. Remember Psalm 103? Verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Why? For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. And dear ones, he can handle all our complaints. Inasmuch as God is able to hear our prayers, our praise items, our gratitude, God is able to listen. God is able to handle all our questions. All we need to do is start talking. Start talking to him. Asaph did. With all the doubt and all. Thankfully, in the second half of the psalm, we see a wonderful turnaround. The transition begins in verse 16 when we read, he entered God's sanctuary. And this brings us to our third encouragement when we're in doubt. Ano ba dapat natin gawin? When we are in doubt, we lose not our sight on true goodness. Right? We long not for worldly good. In verse 16-22, where we see the turnaround, we are being encouraged to look back upon God's character. Look at verse 16. But, a beautiful transition. But, when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. When you try to understand the wickedness of the world, in light of the goodness of God, nakapagod, di ba? How can God be good? And now, yung mga mga walang pag-ibig sa Diyos, bakit nabubuhay sila na maayos? Right? It can be tiring. It can wear you out. It certainly did. For the psalmist, but his gaze has begun to go upward. Right? He no longer is looking at the wicked and their benefits. And we should learn from this, friends. Like I said a while ago, comparing ourselves with others, especially unbelievers, would rob you of your joy. Tigilan natin na yun. Let's refrain from it. Now, you see, we live in the world of social media now. Diba? Nowadays, most, if not all of us, have Facebook accounts or Twitter or Instagram. Tama? Though, those are good avenues to keep in touch with families and friends. Can also be used for ministry. Diba? But the problem with social media is that it clouds our thinking of reality. People follow people on their Instagram and then starts complaining about their own life as they see the life of the celebrity they're following. And then they would say, if only I could live his life. How I wish that the same can happen to me. Pero mga kapatid, hindi lahat sa social media ay totoo. Not everything that we see on social media are the real thing. And again, ulitin ko, lest you misunderstand me, I'm not at all saying that social media is bad. It can be an avenue for the gospel, like what we're doing right now. Diba? We're recording our messages and we are banking on technology, banking on the social media, internet, our website, Facebook, YouTube, to present the gospel. Right? But what I'm saying is that we need to be cautious of the danger of wanting for ourselves other people's lives. This is what happened to Asaph. And the same can happen to us if we would not be careful. It's so easy to look at a celebrity's social media picture and become envious of their lives. We should never compare our lives, but be thankful to God for our lives. Ano sabi ng Hebrews 12? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We ought to run the race set before us. We should stay in our lane and not aspire other people's lanes. Not the wicked people's life, not even other believers' lives. Yes, they should be an inspiration for us, especially those who are stalwarts of the faith. But we should entrust to God whatever it is that we're going through, hardships and all, as we aspire to look and focus at the finish line. Asaph started looking at God, and everything changed. And may I add, very beautifully. He went to the sanctuary. That means he went to God and worship. Verse 16, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a worrisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God and I discerned therein. He said that when he was trying to reconcile the goodness of God with the prosperity of the wicked, he couldn't make it work. Nalilito ako. When the psalmist goes into the presence of God, even amidst all his questions, his entire perspective has changed. That their gain, yung gain ng wicked people, dito lang naman yan eh. It's as if he was looking at a fat cow, di ba yung pinatabang guya, enjoying their meal, nagpapakataba, only to go to the slaughterhouse pagdating ng piyesta. Yun ang nangyari kay Asaph. Despite his earlier evaluation, the psalmist now realizes he doesn't want to head in that direction, the direction of the wicked. He remembers their future. Look at verse 18 to 19. Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. you, God, make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. The language in these verses, napaka-severe. The wicked will fall into ruin, verse 18. They are destroyed, verse 19. They will be swept by terrors, verse 19. Napansin niyo how our perspective changes when we lift our eyes to God? Right? Why would you envy the life of the wicked people? Let's say they're prosperous now. Dito lang yan. We're reminded of Paul in his letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That is what we see here. A change of perspective. What is it about seeing God that caused the psalmist to remember the future of the wicked? Nakita ni Asaph ang justice ng Diyos. He saw the justice of God. He sees that the wicked will ultimately be judged for their sins. And the same is true for the wicked around us today. And for us as well. The difference is that someone paid for our sins. Right? Verse 20. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. Ang panaginip mo, kahit gano kahaba, kahit gano aparang totoo, they are not really true. When you wake up and you realize in a matter of seconds that they are just a dream and they never will, and they never will be a reality, ganun din ang way ng wicked. They are phantoms. These seemingly delightful men and women who in a matter of seconds will find themselves despised by God in the day of reckoning. Verse 21, when my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Verse 21-22, inacknowledge ni Asaph yung kanyang error. It's as if the psalmist steps back with an entirely new perspective and thinks, who do I think I am? Sino ba ako to question you, to judge your goodness? Dahil lang nakikita ko na sa pagpapala ng mga wicked, why would I judge you with those? Seeing God rightly helps us see how foolish it is to view the world without considering the judgment of God against sin and His gracious purposes for His people. He rejoices in God's faithfulness. Diba? He rejoiced in God's justice. He also rejoiced now in God's faithfulness. Now, this leads us to our last heading. Okay, last heading tayo. Beginning verse 23, we would see another encouragement for all of us. If we're going through some struggles, if we're doubting, we are encouraged in this beautiful psalm to lose not our sight on true goodness, to long not for worldly good, to look at the glory of God, to look back upon God's character, to look at his character, his beauty, his grace, his character. And now, starting from verse 23, we are encouraged to love the glory of God. Love God's glory. Beginning in verse 23, the rest of this psalm is a poetic masterpiece that celebrates the majesty and mercy of God. This psalm ends with a description of how the fullness of pleasure in God far outweighs the fleeting phantom prosperity of the wicked. Ulitin ko. Makikita natin kung gaano hindi pwedeng ikumpara ang pleasure here on earth, the pleasure, the privilege, the honor of serving God and knowing Him regardless of our situation, and the glory that awaits us compared to the prosperity of the wicked. With God, there is real joy, real pleasure, and real delight. Asaph describes the faithfulness of God, starting in verse 23 in four ways. In verse 23, he says, God grasps us or holds us. Verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. Bilang tatay, my daughter just turned 13. So, teenager na siya. And so, I remember the times when she would go after and reach out to my hand and wants to hold my hand. We still hold hands, of course. Pero iba yung bata pa eh. Pasway-sway pa nga kami magtatay pag mag-hold hands kami as we walk together. Picture that. You're holding hands with the God of the universe. Isn't it great? Verse 24, God grasps him, sabi ni Asaph. In verse 24, he understands now that God guides him. Verse 24, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. In this life, we don't always know what to do, diba? Or what is best for us. Whatever, whether we're talking about small decisions or big decisions, we look for counsel from people around us, people whom we trust, people who love us, people who are godly. And that is good and it is wise. But it's even better to look for counsel from God. He guides you. Sabi ni Asaph, you guide me with your counsel. Diba? And as he promised, God counsels us by what? Or by whom? Or through whom? His Holy Spirit, who dwells in us. The one who is described as the counselor, and he does that through his word. Look at verse 24 again. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. He now understands that God will glorify him. Having just remembered the future of the wicked, even though they're flourishing here on earth, see, Asaph now remembers the future of the righteous. Those who put their hope and trust in God. Kahit mahirap dito, may masaya at masagana at maluwalhating nag-iintay sa atin. And that is beautiful. And then, verse 25-26. Now he understands this. As he now loves God's glory revealed in these beautiful attributes, beautiful promises of God to His people. Verse 25-26, whom have I in heaven but you? You know this. This is a song. There's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He's ultimately saying, God is good. God is good to me. And His goodness to me is not confined to the blessings that are fleeting, the temporal, the transient. From doubting God to despair, now to declaring that God is all that he has, all that he needs, all that he desires, and his inheritance. What a turnaround. Here is Asaph, who almost stumbled when he was looking at the life of the wicked. But now with a new perspective, he concludes verse 27, for behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. Again, ang ganda nito mga kapatid. Don't miss this out. He started out with a declaration of God's goodness. He shared what happened to him when he lost sight of God's goodness. And now God's goodness is evident in his life. He understands now the end of the wicked and his end. And he, so, ay, walang match. I love the glory. I love the blessing of God Himself, even amidst the situation that I'm in right now. I would not replace that with the temporal riches of the wicked. And now in verse 28, he declares, "But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." We are ending with how Asaph started the psalm, with his goodness, with God's incredible goodness. And he concluded, "It is good to be near God, kahit ano mangyari." And friends, maybe you're in a situation wherein you are doubting God. You may be comparing your life with other people. You may be looking at a person who you know has utterly rejected God but is flourishing. Please don't do that. God is good. And His goodness is not determined nor confined to how we perceive goodness. A temporary lang. Right? Let me share with you some exhortations as we look at this psalm, as we close this psalm. Trust in God's goodness, friends. Trust in God's goodness. In a world where we are surrounded by wickedness, worldliness, and temptation, trust in the goodness of God. His presence is good. So trust that it is good to be with God. And His word is good. So trust that it is good to listen to God. Don't be unreasonable toward God by buying into the deception of the world around you. Purity is not in vain. For the pure shall see God, according to Jesus Himself. While nearness to God is good, this idea of purity does present a big problem for us, daba? Because no one is perfect. For each of us, our feet have slipped, our steps have stumbled, we have all turned aside from God and His word to the ways of this world, and as a result, we all deserve the destiny of the wicked. Destruction. Who among us could stand before the holy justice of God? We're all sinners, and that presents us the good news. The good news is that God has provided a Savior in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul says that God sent Christ to die on the cross so that He, God, would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. In Christ we stand justified before a holy God. Tell about this wonderful God. Tell others about the greatness of God. You see that in verse 28, diba? The impulse to tell others only make sense if you understand that indeed He is good, ever regardless of your situation. Once we have a right perspective of God, hindi tayo pwedeng manahimik. People around us are living for fleeting pleasures. They believe the way of the world is good, pero alam natin it's not. And we know where the way of the world is headed. So how much do we have to hate someone not to tell where he is headed? We should love them enough to tell of this wonderful, wonderful news that God is good and He has expressed His goodness through the sending of His Son. Right? Wonderful, wonderful testimony of someone who almost defected from the faith. But praise the Lord for His grace. He did not. And praise the Lord for His word that we can glean and we can learn encouragements. If we go through, while we go through, or if you are there right now, doubting God's goodness. We lose not our sight on true goodness. We ought to long not for worldly good. We should look back upon God's character, and we should love God's glory and declare it and live it up. Wonderful truth found in this beautiful testimony of a godly man who almost defected, but by God's grace is sharing with us and declaring unto us, God is indeed good, especially to those who are pure in heart, to those who love Him, to those who serve Him, to those who desire no one else, nothing else but Him. Lord, we thank You for teaching us. Thank You for You are good. We praise You for this wonderful, wonderful truth. We thank You for the testimony of Asaph. We thank You that this is a testimony of Your goodness indeed, not of his decision, Lord. Because all throughout, Lord, even in the steps wherein he almost stumbled, we saw You. We can read You, Lord. We can see the truth that You were there for him and with him. And we thank You that You have preserved this song for us to learn from. I pray that You would touch people's lives, those who are doubting, those who are going through some struggles. And may we not lose sight. May we not question. And may we not even long for the good that is fleeting, but embrace You as the one who is truly good. Because indeed You are, Lord, infinitely, faithfully, and eternally good. Thank You for teaching us. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me. Have a blessed, blessed day. I'll see you all soon. God bless.